Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Ayin Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins at the bottom of Ayin Aleph Omid Beis at the Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, let's take note of the markings. The topic heading and structural note that you see in the margin under the Nosei Mivne heading features a diamond, and we have noted the following. Hevdelim, Bain, there are differences between a woman who has a blood sighting, Beyoim Yud Aleph, Leroya Besoich Yud Aleph. There is the phenomenon of a woman seeing blood on the 11th day of the 11 days of Ziva. We're talking about the day 11 of the 11 days that are known as the Yud Aleph Yom Beinido Lenida, and the case of a woman seeing a blood flow in the middle of those 11 days. So the beginning of the Mishnah features a sighting on day 11 itself versus a sighting in the middle of those days. Ma dinam im, what will the law be if tavla ba'erev, if she immersed herself in a mikveh in the evening, v'shimsha, and then had relations? That's going to be one scenario that's analyzed under these two diamonds. Another scenario will be tavla b'yoyim shela achrov v'shimsha. She immersed herself in a mikveh on the day after the sighting. Whether it be the day after day 11, which would be day 12, which is in effect the beginning of the Yemei Nida, or if she immersed herself on the next day in the middle of the Yemei Ziva, which if she had a sighting on day 5, we're talking about day 6 in the morning, and then she had relations. In that event, she was accomplishing what's called Shimur. Shimur is keeping a clean day in light of a previous day of sighting. We call that Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. The idea of being a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom is going to be part of our discussion. Does that apply on a sighting which took place on the 11th day? After all, the next day is not going to be a Ziva day whatsoever. That represents the beginning of the Nida period in the event that she would have an actual blood sighting on the day after day 11. She would become a Nida. So let us take a look at the Mishnah. Haroya Yoim Echad Asor. A woman had a blood sighting on the 11th day, which is the last day of the Yemei Ziva. Now it's very clear that on that day she is Tamea. Rashi says, "Haroya yoim yud aleph shehi soif yemei zoiv v'ein yoim shalachrov mitzdarfim aliziva." The next day, however, day 12, let us say she would have a consecutive 3 days of blood sighting starting on day 11. That would not result in her becoming a zova or a zova gedoyla, because the 11th day is the last day of the yemei ziva. Nevertheless, she had a sighting on that day, immersed herself in the mikveh in the evening, umeshamshon, had relations. Of course, it goes without saying, we've learned so many sugyas about these topics, that a woman who is a zava on the day of her sighting, so she is forbidden to have relations. Here we're talking about a unique situation where it's day 11. Day 11 has now completed, it's concluded. She went to the mikveh, and now in the evening, after that mikveh, she has relations with her husband. Beis Shammai Oimer, Beis Shammai says, Mitamin Mishkov U'Moishov V'Chayovin B'Korbon. Beis Shammai is of the opinion that even though the next day doesn't join up with the 11th day to become to be part of a series of 3 days of blood sightings to make her into a Zava Gedoyla, nevertheless, there is a requirement, according to Beis Shammai, of the next day, day 12, being guarded, being watched as a clean day, as a non-blood day. In the event that she didn't wait till the next day, till the morning of day 12, and had relations like the Mishnah says in the evening, so that creates tumah, because she is forbidden as far as Beis Shammai is concerned, and therefore she and her husband as well are metana, beds and chairs, that's metana mishkav u'moshav, and there's a chiyuv korban for having relations in a forbidden fashion or under forbidden circumstances. And once again, that all is a result of Beis Shammai's opinion that the 11th day requires another day of Shimur. Parenthetically, the concept of Shimur is accomplished by a moment of daytime, daylight, daytime non-blood sighting. We say that Mitzvah Hayom, even part of the daytime hours that are blood-free, constitutes Shimur. But she didn't wait till the daytime, but rather had for relations already in the evening before, which, according to Beis Shammai, is an outright violation. Ubeis Hillel oimrim pturin min hakorban. According to Beis Hillel, there is no Shimur requirement. Rashi adds, though, that Beis Hillel concedes that regarding Tumah, there is a Tumah problem, and that, Rashi says, is midrabanan, as a Chumrah, making a Gzera of the 11th day, in anticipation of something in the middle of the 11 days, when it would be an Isur Doraisa, and not only would there be Tumah under those circumstances, but there would be a Korban as well. But since we're dealing with Shitas Beis Hillel, and we finish the day 11 passed, and we're in the evening after day 11, there is no Shimur requirement. So Midoraisa, there really is no problem with the relations. Therefore, there is no Korban requirement, no sacrifice, no sin has been done on a Torah level. But there is a Gzeira Derabonin of Tumah imposed. Tovlo b'yoyim shel acharov, the second scenario, as you may have remembered from our introduction, that's why you have this noted as a bay situation, where she immersed herself not the night after 11, but on day 12, the day, in other words, in the day after 11, during the daytime hours. Rashi points out, Tovlo b'yoyim shel acharov, the ovdo shimur k'tzas, she did a bit of Shimur. That was what we mentioned before. A few moments of daylight, non-blood time. That's Shimur Ktsas. And that's enough as far as the din of Shimur is concerned. Uvishimshot's Beison then had relations. V'achar kachuras. And then, lo and behold, she had a blood sighting. Beis Shammai Omrim, Mitamin Mishkov U'moishov. On a rabbinic level, there is a Tumah regarding the beds and chairs, and this includes the husband as well. Hil mitama the mishkav u'moishav midrabanan, and this is once again a gzeira otu, a case of this thing happening in the middle of the 11 days, where if a woman had a blood sighting just as an example on day 5 of the Amei Ziva, and on day 6 in the morning she did a few moments of Shimur, and then later in the day she had a blood sighting, retroactively there would be Tumah Midoraisa. So here we're dealing with not in the middle of the Amei Ziva, but we're on day 12, and she saw blood after she had after she had her intimacy. So we have retroactive Tumah Midorabona, Mitamin Meshkel Oshim, however Upturim Min HaKorban. But there is no Korban requirement, because once again, this is not relations took place at the point that she had done the Shimur. So the whole concept of a retroactive Tumah on day 12 to Mechayev for the Bia, for the intimacy, that is not the case. Shimur was accomplished midoraisa, and the fact that she became she had a blood sighting later that day, which by the way makes her into a nida, because this is the beginning of the nida period. There's no retroactive ramifications, and hence there is an exemption from a sacrifice. Ubeisil omrim hare ze gargaron. An interesting term, gargaron. Rashi says, gargamin maher lachtoi. He's hastening to sin. What happened? Once again, the woman had a blood setting on day 11. She did a few moments of shimur on day 12 and had relations, and later she had a blood setting. If that whole scenario would have taken place in the middle of the 11 days of Ziva, that would be an outright doraisa problem. And therefore, the Beis Hillel says that this kind of behavior could lead someone to behave the same way in the middle of the 11 days, thereby running into a retroactive, they'll call sinful situation. Hence, don't get used to this kind of behavior. And even on day 12, it's recommended to abstain from intimacy, simply because of getting used to that type of behavior during the middle of the 11 days. Continuing in the Mishnah, Umoidim Beroya B'Soich Yud Aleph Yoim, there is agreement in the case of a woman who sees blood in the middle of the 11 Ziva days, the Tavlo Erev Shimsha, and she immersed herself in the mikveh in the evening and then had relations. And here's a case where there was relations without any shimur. This is a situation of a woman who requires midoraisa shemeres yom keneged yom, and she didn't keep the next day at all, because you see she's having relations in the evening before the daytime hours. Shemetamin Mishka Moshe v'chayav mekorban, everyone agrees there will be tumas Mishka Moshe and there will be a korban requirement. If she had relations on the next day, and we're talking again in the middle of the 11 days, so if we're talking about relations on, let's say, day 5, or she had a sighting on day 5 and then had relations on day 6 after having gone to mikveh, v'shimsha, hareze tarbus ra. Now here is a case where she had relations on the next day after having done a little shimur. There's no blood flow here, but she had relations on that next day after she did a little shimur. The Mishnah describes this as bad behavior, tarbus ra. Why is it described bad behavior? Because maybe she'll have a blood sighting later that day, and if she does, then you've got a retroactive Isur Doraisa having been violated. So even when there's no blood sighting yet on that next day, one should abstain. If they didn't, it's called Tarbus Ra. Umagon Be'ilos Tzluyin, and laws regarding Tuma and the Be'ila is Korban ramifications are in suspension. Maybe she will see later that day, and if she does, so any contact that she had with things will become Tomei as a maga zava, and if there is a blood sighting later that day, they will be chayav to bring a korban. Rashi adds that if there is no blood sighting later that day, so things that she had contact with will remain tor, and there will be no obligation for a korban regarding the bia. The Gemara continues now with a long Tanaic source, a Braisa Tana Rabbanan. The Braisa will go over in greater detail the points we saw in the Mishnah, particularly the Machlokes, Beis Shammai, and Beis Hillel, in the Reisha of the Mishnah regarding the case of a sighting on day 11. Tana Rabbanan, Veshavin B'Toivelis Laila Lizava She'enot Vila. The opening line will be explained by the Braisa itself as we go on. But in the meantime, it says there's agreement regarding a woman who immerses herself at night, that it's of no value. Vishoven, and now Rashi explains, this is an explanation of the opening line. V'shavin b'roya b'soich yud alef yoim. A woman, there's agreement regarding a case of a woman who saw in the middle of the 11 ziva day, she had a blood sighting. V'tavlo lo'era v'shimsha, and immersed herself in the mikveh toward in the evening, and then had intimacy. Shemetamo nishkavu Moshe v'chayovim b'korban. As we saw in the Mishnah, there's no argument about that case. Very simply, because she did not perform shmirah, which is done only during daytime hours, and she didn't reach the daytime hours yet. Loi nechluku ela b'yoyim yudalef yom. The machlukis b'shamei silo arises regarding day 11 itself. And she immersed herself in the evening and had relations. Relations in the evening after day 11. Shebeishamei omer mitamin mishkov u'moisha v'chayovim b'korban. As we saw Rashi on the Mishnah, Lefi Beishame, there is a Torah requirement, a Daraisa requirement of Shmira for that daytime, for that day 11 sighting. And in the event, and since she hadn't done it, because this is a case where she went to mikveh in the evening and had relations without waiting till the morning of day 12, that constitutes a Torah violation, and hence there's Tumas Mishkav Umoshav, and there's also a Chiyuv Korban. Ubeisilo Pochrin Mikorban. Beisilo exempts from a Korban, but as we saw earlier, there is Tumah, and that is a, according to Beis Hillel, that's a Durabonon Chumra. Omru Lohem Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. As we continue in this Tanaic source, you'll see a number of squiggle underlines. They represent the give and take between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai in this, on this topic. Omru Lohem Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. My shno yoim yud aleph mi yoim toich yud aleph. What is different to you regarding the day 11 from the middle of the a sighting in the middle of the 11 days? Im shiva loy latuma. If you agree that that the way we treat day 11, particularly the nighttime after day 11, as a time that there is Tumas Mishkov and Moshav for this couple that had relations, so why not treat that the same way regarding the Korban? However, Beis Hillel made a distinction. They said there will be Tumas Mishkov as a result of those relations at the night after day 11, but there won't be a Chiyuv Korban. So Beis Shammai's question is, why do you make a distinction here regarding this night after day 11, where you wouldn't have made a distinction if it were, let's say, the nighttime following a blood sighting in the middle of the 11 days? Omru lohem Beis Hillel le Beis Shammai loy. Beis Hillel disagrees with or rebuffs Beis Shammai's point. Im amris b'soich yud alef yoim, if you are going to say regarding a sighting in the middle of the 11 days, whereby we are stringent regarding the nighttime following such a blood sighting. For example, if there was a blood sighting on day 5, the night following day 5, so relations that take place then will result in a korban as well as tumas mishkov and moishav. Shekein yoim shelachrov mitzdarif imo leziva, because day 6 can join up with day 5 if there is a consecutive series of blood sighted days. In other words, if she had a blood sighting on day 5 and on day 6 and on day 7, she would become a Zava Gedola. So what we're saying in effect is that the following day joins up with the day of sighting. That's true with regard to a day in the middle of the 11 days. Toimru b'yoyim yud aleph, should we apply the same level of stringency with regard to day 11 itself? She'en yoyim shalachrov nesh'etztarafim olezivah. Day 12 doesn't join up with day 11. And you will agree, you Beis Shammai agree with that. So that we can't view the time period following day 11 the same way we treat the time period following day 5 or day 4 or day 6, days that are in the middle of the 11 days. Amru lohem Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai responds, Hishvu midosechem. You should be consistent. Im shiva loy latuma, if you are treating the night following day 11 the same way you treat night following day five regarding Tumah, which Beis Hillel in effect did. They said there is Tumah regarding the night following day 11. Well, then Yishva Lo Ilu Korban, you should be consistent and say that it's a time that would generate a Korban obligation as well. The Imlo Shiva Lo Ilu Korban, if you say that the night following day of 11 is not like the night following day 5, a day in the middle of the 11 days, and Lo Yishva Lo Ilu Korban Tumah. So it should there should be no parallel regarding Tumah either. Amru Lohem Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says back, Im hivinuhu lidei tumah lahachmir. It may be that we are stringent with regard to tumah, but that is a stringency. That's the application of a rabbinic stringency. Lo nevi'ehu lidei korban ha'kel. We're not going to, as you claim, to be consistent and say he should bring a korban as well. Bringing a korban midrabbonin is something that's anathema, meaning there's a prohibition of bringing something that on a Torah level is not required. We would call that chulin bazora, that which is common being brought into the Beis Hamikdash. So your insistence upon us to be consistent, that just like we treat the night following day 11 with regard to Tumah like a night in the middle of the 11 days and expect us to be mechayev to obligate the bringing of a korban, also no, that would in effect be a relaxation, an unnecessary kula, which of course is forbidden in this case, where it would end up bringing a korban when the Torah has no korban expectation. The oid midivrechem atem noishchem. Beis Hillel goes on to say, not only is your objection to our inconsistency unfounded, but you have an inherent contradiction. You have a problem. That's noishchem means mukshim, loshen kashi, of a difficulty. Shatem oimrim tov lo yoim shelachra v'shimshah. You say that if she immersed herself on the next day, on day 12, and then had relations v'achakach ro'asol, and then she had a blood sighting later on day 12, you, Beis Shammai, say, and by the way, we have a little arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow three lines from the top, and you'll see where this quote, where this point is coming from. Where you, Beis Shammai, said, you have a point of inconsistency, because on the daytime of day 12, where she had immersed herself, had relations, and then later on there was a blood sighting, you said, Mitama Mishkov Moshev Upturim in Akorban. Look, here you are stringent with regard to Tumas Mishkov Moshev, and yet you're lenient with regard to the Korban. Afatem Ishvu Midosechem. So too, you should be consistent. Im Shiva Loy Lutuma, Yishva Lo Ilu Korban. If a sighting on day 12 is in your opinion viewed as a sighting on a subsequent day in the middle of the Amezival regarding Tumah, so then Yishva Lo Ilu Korban, you should say that there's a korban requirement as well for that case where there was relations followed by a blood sighting on day 12. Im lo shiva lo lekorban, if you don't view day 12 like you would view days in the middle of the Yemei Ziva regarding a korban, and lo yishva lo letumah, you shouldn't have a tumah imposition either on the Mishkov u'Moshav. Elo, so what was motivating you? Lahachmir v'lo lahokel. All you were basically doing was applying a stringency regarding the daytime hours of day 12 to say that there would be Tumas Mishkov u'Moshav in the event that there was a subsequent blood sighting, so there would be a retroactive tumah on the Mishkov u'Moshav. So that's a stringency, v'lo lahokel, but not to require the bringing of a korban, because after all, midoraisa, she did shimur already, and therefore there's no Torah violation over here. Hachanami, so too, our behavior regarding the nighttime following day 11 was motivated by lahachmir in order to apply a stringency, which was of course regarding the Mishkov u'Moshav, the lo lahokel, and not to require the bringing of a korban. Omar Rav Huna. before we go on, in the Gemara, of course, we notice a firebox around Rav Huna, so this immediately draws our attention to the Nosei, and you see immediately that we've noted that the Nosei on the margin, Ad Amud Beis, this continues to Amud Beis, hence we have a firebox indicating that this is a central point, or the sheet of Rav Huna is of central importance, preoccupying us for a long time. Din Shel Rav Huna, we've written on the side, the Din of Rav Huna, Mishkava Umoishava Shel Haroya Besoich Yud Aleph Besheni Shelah. We're talking here about the beds and chairs of a woman who had a sighting in the middle of the 11 days, in the midst of the Amaziva. And we're focusing on the day after, which we call the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, on the following day. What is the din regarding her mishkav and moishav on that yoim shimur? Rebbe Shammai temein afalpi shetovla v'afalpi shelo rasa. Rebbe Shammai imposes tuma on the mishkav and moishav, even though she went to mikveh and even though there was no blood sighting. That's din of Rav Huna. Rav Huna is thereby observing or commenting on what Beis Shammai's shita would be regarding the Mishkav Moshav of the woman during her Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, when there was mikveh and yet there was no sighting. So Rav Huna tells us Beis Shammai nevertheless is machmir. The Gemara Amar Rav Huna Mishkav Moshav Shebesheni Beis Shammai mitamin afalpi shetovla afalpi sheloi roasa. Even though there are two things in her favor, so to speak, the afalpi, even though she immersed herself in the mikveh, and even though there was no blood sighting, my taima, why does Beis Shammai rule stringently regarding tuma on her mishkav u'moshav? Answer: Kevon de ilu chazir metamo, since there is potential, meaning if she would see blood on that second day, that's the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, there would be retroactive tuma. Hashtanami, so too now, even though she hasn't yet seen metamyo, there is tuma. So Rav Huna explains the analysis of Beis Shammai is based on the potential for tuma. Omar Rav Yosef, my komash molon. Rav Yosef asks, what does Rav Huna tell us that we don't know from a Tanaic source, Tanina? We have the following Tanaic source. This is a quote you'll notice from the Mishnah. We have a little star that will draw your attention to the top line, and you can see where this is coming from. And there's a teaching in the Mishnah, but in order to appreciate what Rav Yosef is saying, there's a certain assumption that must be made. This quote is comes from a different case. The case featured here was the focus on the day after 11, meaning day 12. Day 12 is inherently different than a sighting than the day following a sighting in the middle of the Amaziva, as we explained a number of times already today. So that point should be borne in mind. However, we're nevertheless going to parallel these cases, as we will very shortly explain. So Rav Yosef's question to Rav Huna is, what is Rav Huna revealing to us that we don't know already from the Mishnah? What does it teach in the Mishnah? Tov lo yom shaliach harov. The woman who had a sighting on day 11, she went to the mikveh on day 12, which is what, in effect, the beginning of the Amei Nidah. She went to the mikveh on day 12. The Shimshos Beison then had relations, she had intimacy. The Achar Kach Ro Aso, and then there was a blood sighting. Now here we have to emphasize that the sighting on day 12, in your mind's eye, is like a non-sighting on day 6, or day 7, any of the days in the middle of the Amei Ziva. Once again, we're paralleling in order to appreciate Rav Yosef's point. The sighting of day 12, like a non-sighting on the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom day in the middle of the Yemei Ziva. Beis Shammai Yomrim Mitamo Mishkavos Umoshavos Uptura Min HaKorban. So here you see, there is Tumas Mishkav Umoshav, no Korban requirement. There was We're here talking about day 12. But what do we see here? We see Tumas Mishkov and Moishov on that next day. Therefore, what do I need Rav Huna for, who spoke about Tumas Mishkov and Moishov on that next day? Omar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says to Rav Yosef, like, why are you, what are you asking about Rav Huna seeming to be redundant? Ross O'Shiny, the case featured in the Mishnah was a case of an actual blood sighting. That's different than the case of Rav Huna. Rav Huna was speaking about a case of the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, that second day where there was no blood sighting. Omar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef comes back, he responds and says, what do you mean that Ro'asa Shiny? The Ro'asa, namely, Ro'asa of day 12. V'chi Ro'asa on day 12. Mayave, real denidahi. That's not a Ziva sighting. That begins a new period of time called the Denida period. So that you can't say that the Ro'asa on day 12 makes it into a, we'll call it a different consideration. The sighting on day 12 has nothing to do. It's like a non-sighting with regard to Ziva. It's true there's a blood sighting. It's true she becomes Tomei, but she becomes Tomei from that point in time onwards. There's no retroactive Tumah as a result of that particular blood sighting. And that's what he means when he says Rio Denidahi. We take a look at Rashi, right under the Gemara text, Re'ias Nidahi, the Eino Mitztaref, Elameashav Mitama. As we said, it doesn't join up with the sighting of day 11 to create a series of Ziva days. She is simply Tamea from that point on, from the point she saw the blood onwards. The Tumas Meisleis Hu Deikoleo, the Tumas Meisleis Eino Mitames Boyle. There's this concept of retroactive Tumo regarding things she handled, but it doesn't take in the intimacy that she had earlier that day. Elamishum de Gazrinon Yoim Shelacher Yudalev Otu Soif Yudalev Doraisa, Achanami Toch Yudalev Kiloi Roasa Besheni Achat Filosa Gazrinon Otu Roasa. So too, we say that in the middle of the 11 days, when she doesn't have a blood sighting, there we will impose a gzera, otu, a case of a blood sighting on that next day in the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom situation, which is in the middle of the 11 days. However, to suggest to make a gzera in the case of on day 12, a subsequent blood sighting on day 12, that is going too far. That really makes it unrelated. As a result of this, Rav Yosef's point to Rav Kahane is, you can't tell me that the case of Ro'asa is any different, because once again, the Ro'asa on day 12 for our purposes is like non-Ro'asa in the middle of the Ziva days. So whatever Rav Huna is saying would appear to be redundant. I would have been able to figure that out from the Mishnah. Omar le Abaye le Rav Yosef. Abaye, now he takes Rav Yosef to challenge. He challenges Rav Yosef. He says, Rav Kahana hochi ko kashio le. It should be noted that we have a long question marking starting here, which goes down a number of lines down the top of Omid Beis. So we continue with that in mind. Abaye explains what was bothering, what motivated Rav Kahana's point of Ruah So Shiny, seemingly, in fact, placing a premium on the fact that on day 12, the Mishnah had spoken about an actual blood sighting, how that is different than the case of Rav Huna. So the Gemara goes on. Bishlamo hecho de Ro'asa, Gazrina Rio de Nida Otu Rio de Ziva. Where a woman has an actual sighting on day 12, it's called Ri'ya of Nida, because that begins her Nida days. Nevertheless, we can see a certain rationale behind the Mishnah in imposing Tumah Otu in anticipation of a case of a Ri'ya blood sighting during the Amei Ziva, during the Shomeris Yom Keneged Yom day. So that on the Shomeris Yom Keneged Yom day, in the middle of the Amei Ziva, that will create Tumah Midoraisa, it's a retroactive Tumah Midoraisa. So a Ri'ya on day 12 is generates a rabbinic ruling to impose retroactive Tumah, which was what the Mishnah spoke about. Elohecha de lo ra'asa, Rav Huna's case, my nigzorba. What gezerah should we make? She didn't see any blood, so what are you going to make a gzera otu in anticipation of what? In other words, to compare a case of non-ra'asa in anticipation of some other non-ra'asa situation, that there's no grounds for that. Let us glance at Rashi before we go further. Amalei Abaye l'Rav Yosef. Rav Kahana d'Yoma ra'asa shayni. Rav Kahana, who made the point that Rav Huna really is necessary, because I couldn't derive Rav Huna's din from the Mishnah, because the case of the Mishnah featured an actual sighting on day 12. Hachiko kashile, thusly Rav Kahana was troubled, asked on Rav Yosef. Even though the tumah of the sighting on day 12 is the concept of tumah there, the retroactive tumah that the Mishnah mentioned is rabbinic, leka lemeimar, one should not say the following. The following are two lines that one should not say. Don't say dechihechi degazri beishamai riya shnia delachar yud aleph otu riya shnia toich yud aleph. Hachinami nigzor lo ruasa otu ruasa, that one should not say that just like Beis Shammai made a gzeira of a sighting on day 12 in anticipation of a sighting on a Shemeris Yom Keneged Yom in the middle of day 12, in the middle of the 11 days of Ziva, so too he should make a gzeira of a non-sighting in anticipation of a case of sighting. Diria biria mechlefa. The idea of sightings can be confused. If we weren't to make a gzera on the case of a sighting on day 12 and say retroactive tumah, we would come to say there's no retroactive tumah in the case of a sighting in the middle of the Amei Ziva. That's patently false. There is retroactive tumah. However, rasa below rasa lo michlufa. But the case of a case of confusion, let us say, of lo ra'asa. If on our own we would say there's no tumah imposed, I wouldn't have come to say that there is no tumah in the case of actual ra'asa. I wouldn't come to confuse the two. Nevertheless, the Rav Huna comes in his mechadesh that even in the case of lo ra'asa, there is retroactive tumah. That is a big chiddush, and I would not have been able to figure out that point from the Mishnah. And that's what Rav Kahana's role was here in justifying Rav Huna. Continuing in the Gemara, the Oid Tanan, the diamond appears here and is explained under the Mivneh heading. These are, in effect, questions that we will show how they develop as questions when we go on. We have a But actually, before we go on, we should say that the direction that Abaye is taking here is Rav Kahana was pointing out that from the case of the Mishnah, one couldn't derive Rav Huna's point. So to say that Rav Huna is is like Rav Yosef claimed. Rav Huna is based on, or is supported by, or was taught already. We shouldn't say supported by, but Rav Huna was already alluded to in the Mishnah. Rav Kahana is saying, not so. Rav Huna is not alluded to in the Mishnah. And furthermore, we can even ask on Rav Huna from the following. Haroya Rio Achas Shel Zoiv. Beisham Ayomrim Kishemeres Yoim Keneged Yoim Ubeisil Omrim Tibal Keri. A man who has a singular sighting of Zov, Beishamai says he has the din, he has the same legal status as a woman on her second day in the Shemeres Yoim Keneged Yom situation. And Beisil says he is like a Baal Keri. There are big differences between the two. Rashi says, "Kishemeres yom keneged yom, b'sheni shelo." On the second day after a sighting in the middle of the meziva, shemago tolui achar tevila, that things that she had contacted are in suspension, even though she's already gone to mikveh. Afze mago tolui im tova li acharia v'noga b'maiser mago tolui shemayira riyashnia mitzarf leziva. This zav who had a sighting, a singular sighting, if he then goes to mikveh, if he has another sighting, that will retroactively undo the mikveh that he the mikveh immersion, and therefore things that he came into contact with retroactively will become tomei. On the other hand, Beis Hillel says kibal keri v'tor l'maiser achar tvila miyad. A person who had a Zov sighting and then went to mikveh, he can partake of Meiser Sheni immediately after the mikveh. Katoni Mia, the Beis Shammai, it says here regarding Beis Shammai, Shemeres Yoim, Vizav Biria Rishayna Shavim. So we're pointing out that there's an equation made under Beis Shammai, and the focus of our discussion here is within Beis Shammai. There's an equation made between Zov, the Riyah Rishon of a Zov, and the Shemeres Yoim Keneged Yoim. The Tanya, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. It says in this source, Hamasit Es Horiyah. This is a Zav, the man that had the Zav emission, his first Zav emission. And a Tor person came and moved the droplet of emission, the tipo itself, the substance itself. That's Hamasit Esriya, moved the Riya, the substance itself. Beis Shammai Oimrim, Toilin. Ubeis Hillel, Mitarin. The status of one who moved the drop, didn't say, we're not talking about his actually contacted, but he moved it. Mm-hmm. So Beis Shammai says it's his status is in suspension. In other words, if the Zav has another sighting that day, that will make this into a Zav Gomor, and the Zov will Metama through Masa. The first sighting in and of itself is not Metama v'Masa, as the Din of Keri, but if there's a second sighting, so retroactively the first droplet will also be considered Tomei b'Masa, and Beis Hillel Mitarin. Mishkavos u'moshoi u'moshavos shebein ria rishon ria shnia, the beds and chairs that this gentleman sat on between the first and second sightings. Beis Shammai toilin u'beis Hillel mitarin. Beis Hillel says, well, it's in suspension what their status will be, and Beis Hillel declares them tor. The katoni reisha, and the reisha had said haroya ria achas shel zoiv. Beis Shammai Oimrim Kishemeres Yoim Keneged Yoim. The parallel between Zov and Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom was already stated. And the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom is Rav Huna's topic. Let's not forget that. So whatever we said about the Zov, we say also about the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, the second day after she had a sighting in the middle of her Yomei Ziva. And what does it say here about the Zov / Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom on that second day? What does it say about the Mishkavos and Moishavos, according to Beis Shammai? They said Toilin, it's in suspension. We're waiting to see if there will be another one. Another sighting, in the case of Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, if there will be a blood sighting later on that day. Alma Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, the Beis Shammai Toilin. Oh, what did Rav Huna say about the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom before a blood sighting on that second day? He was mitame. So what is Abaye pointing out here? He's saying that what was bothering Rav Kahana is as follows. Not only does the Mishnah not reflect Rav Huna's din, like Rav Yosef claimed, but the Mishnah is in effect a kasha. We have a kasha on Rav Huna's din, not from the Mishnah, but from these Tanaic sources that we began with our diamond notation at the bottom of Omen Aleph. Just to review in a nutshell what the problem is, Rav Huna had said that the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom on that Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom day, her Mishkovos and Moshovos are Tmeim, and we see from this, from the Tanaic sources we're learning here, that Beis Shammai's approach to that is Toilin. Toilin means in suspicion, but not Tomei. The Gemara answers, Lo Tema Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom. Don't say that the Riyah Rishon of the Zov is like Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom. Elo Emo Keboyel Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom. It's like the din of the Zov is like the man who had intimacy with the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom. It's a little bit lighter, a little bit more lenient than the woman herself. There's the man who had relations with her, and there's the woman herself. So as far as the woman herself is concerned, Rav Huna's din can still be maintained, that the Mishkovos Umoshevos of the woman herself on her Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, after Tevila, before the Riyah, even though it's before the Riyah, will be Tomei. And as far as the Tanaic sources that we learned over here, which spoke about the Riyah Rishon of the Zov being parallel to something, it's not parallel to be parallel to the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, but rather to be parallel to the man that had intimacy with her. The Gemara here has a couple of questions that we have highlighted with a triangle under our mivneh marking in the margin. We noted Maishno, Shelos Birur Loma Mechalkin Bein Dvarim Shem. Why do we make some of these distinctions? Afterwards, though, there's another diamond coming up, and that represents a second question on Rav Huna. But before we get to that, let's see these questions. My shno ihu deloi mitama mishkavu moshevu, my shno ihi de mitamile. Why are you making this distinction that the man that has intimacy with the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, so we say that the beds and chairs don't become Tomei. We said regarding them Toilin, they're in suspension to see whether she'll have a blood sighting later that day. And when it comes to the woman herself, which was Rav Huna's din, the beds and chairs, the mishkovos are declared Tomei. Answer. Ihu, the man, the lo shchichi beidomim lo gozer beirabonan. Males don't have blood releases, so they don't. It's very uncommon, and therefore we don't impose a gzeira, a rabbinic ruling, to metame the mishkav u'moshav. Ihi, though the woman, the shchichi beidomim, it's common for women to have blood sightings, so gozer beirabonan. They imposed a gzeira on her in anticipation of a subsequent blood sighting. And of course we're talking about the Mishkovos and Moshovos that Rav Huna said the are Tomei in the case of the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom B'Sheni Shelah. Umay Shno, another question, Mishkov U'Moshov de Metamile, Umay Shno Boyo de Lo Metamile. Why is it that we're imposing Tumah on the Mishkov U'Moshov, but we are not imposing Tumah on the Boyel? The Gemara answers, Mishkav u'Moshev d'shchiach metamele. The beds, chairs, is very common to use them, to sit on them. However, intimacy is a less common phenomenon. There, it's the lo shchiach, it's less common, lo metame, so we don't impose Tumah on him. Tanan, a quote from our Mishnah. Tovla Yoim Shela Achrov Vishimsha Harezu Tarbis Ra. She immersed herself on the day after a blood sighting in the middle of the Yemei Ziva. This is the second day. We call this the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom. She went to mikveh, had relations. No blood sighting, though. No blood sighting. Harezu Tarvis Ra. This is considered negative behavior. Magon Ubeilasan Tluyin. Contact that she has with things and the status regarding intimacy matters are in suspension. Now, what we've done with our markings, we're talking about the same topic of Rav Huna, namely the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, and it says Magon, which is a Tuma phenomenon, contact, Tluyin. Tluyin is in suspension. No, that's not like Rav Huna. Rav Huna clearly said that the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom creates actual Tuma, not a state of suspension where we are waiting to in order to determine things. My love, divrei hakolhi, is it not so that this Tanaic source is in accordance with everybody, including base Shammai? And that will be a problem for Rav Huna. Loi, base Hillel, he. This Mishnah quote is Shitas, it reflects Shitas base Hillel. Beis Shammai, though, Rav Huna will tell you, will say the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom generates actual Tumah, even though she went to Mikveh, and even though there was no blood sighting. Desanya, this source will show us how this Magon Tluyin comment is a reflection of Shitas Beis Hillel. Omar Lahen, the Gro has a girsa here of Beis Shammai le Beis Hillel. The original girsa is Rav Yehuda says to Beis Hillel. But we want to emphasize Beis Hillel in this source. V'chi lezu atem kurin tarbus ra. Do you refer to this as negative behavior? The case of having relations with the woman on the second day after having gone to mikveh. V'halo. And of course, we should point out that she also was Mekayim the Doraisa Shmira requirement of Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, but just by a few hours, or just by a few moments of daytime, no non-blood sighting. So do you really call this Tarbis Ra? We skipped the brackets for a moment. All that he intended to do was have relations with a Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom. So that we see that the term, you'll notice here that the term Tarbus Ra appears, and we've dashed underlined that and with Beis Hillel. We have the source where the diamond appears, where the term Tarbus Ra is mentioned, and we can therefore associate this unnamed Tanaic source after the diamond with Beis Hillel, who we see here is the author of the idea of Tarbus Ra. Now, we skipped a bracketed section, which is features a lotion that is not accurate. So now we can go over it. V'haloi, right before the brackets. V'halo niskaven ze'elo l'voil esanida. The fellow who had relations with the woman on the day after a ziva sighting in the middle of the Yemei Ziva, his intention was to have relations with a nida. Nida is al gadaita. What are you talking about? What nida? There's no nida here. We're in the middle of the Yemei Ziva. Elo ema livoil es hazava. His intention was merely to have relations with a zava. Zava salkadai. She's not a zava. She had a blood sighting on the previous day, which in fact she would be called a zava ktana. But she already we're in the next day. We're in the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom day. She did shimur. You don't call her a zava. Elo ema livoil Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom. So with that. With that having been said, there is a defense of Rav Huna, the source that was quoted after the diamond as a kasha on Rav Huna. We deflected it by saying that the source is not Shitas Beis Shammai, which was the subject of Rav Huna's point. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that that which follows is a totally new topic. Under our No Say heading, we have written the following. Haroya Dam B'yoyim Asiri Shel Yemei Ziva. A woman has a blood sighting on day 10 of the Yemei Ziva. Ha'im hi boya lishmor yoyim yud aleph. bedin shemiras yom keneged yom? Does she have to keep the next day, day 11, as a clean day, which is characteristic of shemiras yom keneged yom? Certainly, if she saw on day 5, so day 6, she has to keep as a, she has to observe as a clean day if she wants to maintain taro or achieve. If she wants to achieve taro. What about a sighting on day 10? And you'll ask, well, what's unique about day 10? So we'll see later in our discussion. This issue, though, is a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So now the Gemara. We should also point out that structurally there are two lishoinus on this Gemara. There's an Iko de Masni law, Roman numeral number 2, a few lines later, as we've noted, with the numbering to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Itmar, Asiri. Asiri is a reference to the 10th day during the Yemei Ziva. A woman has a sighting on day 10. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Asiri Kitshi'i. We treat a sighting on day 10 like you would treat a sighting on day 9. Machi boy, Shima, just like a sighting on day 9 requires keeping the next day, day 10, as blood free in order for her to achieve Tahara. Afasiri boy shimur, so too a sighting on day 10 requires shimur on day 11. Reish Lakish Omar Asiri Kachad Asar. A sighting on day 10 is like a sighting on day 11. Ma Achad Asar lo boy shimur, just like day 11 does not generate the need for keeping as a clean day. There's no din of Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom. Af Asiri lo boy shimur, so too even day 10 doesn't require shimur on day 11. Let's not make any mistake, though, that she's Tamea on day 10. The whole issue is, does she require shimur on the next day? Iko demasni lo aho. The machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, is featured on the heels of the following Tanaic source. This Tanaic source has a number of different points mentioned. We are only going to focus on the third of the 3 points mentioned, as will be seen shortly. Omar lo, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah le Rabbi Akiva. Afilu ato marbe b'shem shem koyom kulo. Even if you attempt to focus on the pasuk, which mentions the word b'shemen in the context of the Toda sacrifice was a sheep brought along with 11, with a 4 different types of loaves, 40 loaves in total, 10 loaves of each kind, and oil was mixed in with the preparation of these loaves. And there is a discussion concerning how much oil was necessary. Rabbi Akiva came to his conclusions by focusing on the pasuk, where the word bashemen appears a couple of times. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying to Rabbi Akiva, and even if you try to derive your point from the pasuk, Eini shomea lecha, I am not going to agree with you that this, that the quantity of oil is learned from the pasuk Ela. Rather, chatzi log shemen l'toida. A half log of oil, half log is a liquid measure required for the toda, for these, for the bread offerings that are part of the toda. Urevius yayin l'nozir. And the din concerning, the urevius is a liquid measure which has relevance regarding a nozir who forbids himself from drinking wine. The achadus yoyim shebe nido l'nido. This is the point that is relevant to our current discussion. The 11 days that we call the Yemei Ziva that appear between the different between the Nida periods, Halacha Lemoisha Misinai. These 3 points are based on oral tradition and not based on Psukim. The Gemara asks, "My Halacha." When you say Halacha Lemoisha Misinai, what do you intend by saying that? Now, before we go on, we must learn the Rashi on this. My halacha, the mashma ayoyim yud aleph kom Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. It sounds like he's focusing on the day 11 of the Yemei Ziva. Dave halacha Moshe Misinai, which is part of an oral tradition, that day 11. Uboy ashas mayhu chesav mishar yom shalof. What's unique about day 11? So the question of the Gemara of my halacha is based on this assumption that Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah was referring to day 11. So the Gemara is asking, what is different about day 11 than any of the other days of the Yemei Ziva? So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Halacha, Yud Aleph, Rishon Lishon Amar Halachas, Achad Asar. Rabbi Yochanan says, there is one point of difference between 11, day 11 and the previous days, and Reish Lakish says there are 2 points of difference. And the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Halacha, Achad Asar, that it, with regard to one aspect, there's a difference between day 11 and the previous Yemei Ziva. Achadasar hu delo bo yishimor. It is true that 11 itself doesn't generate the need for shimor, namely keeping the next day in the event that 11 was a sighting day. Ha li achrini ovit shimor. However, day 11 joins up with previous days, and here specifically with day 10, it becomes a shimur for day 10. Let's read that again. Hal achrini, but for another day, specifically day 10, ovid shimur. It serves as a time for shimur. Well, this is beduk. This is the point that we had seen earlier. This is the second lashon of what we discussed earlier. The question being, a sighting on day 10, is there a need for shemeres yom keneged yom on day 11? Does day 11 serve as the Yom Shmira for a sighting on day 10? So Rabbi Yochanan says, yes. Reish Lakish Amar. Reish Lakish says that regarding day 11, halachis achadasar, there are two aspects that day 11 is different than any of the other Ziva days. What are the two aspects? Loi achadasar bo ishimur. A sighting on day 11 doesn't generate the need for shimur. This they agree about. However, this is the point of difference. Velo shimur li'asiri have, and day 11 is not a shimur for day 10, because day 10 does not generate the need for shemeres yoyim keneged yoyim. The continuation of the Gemara will be, in effect, asking a question of why do you say that that the halachas of the 11 days of the Yemei Ziva are categorized as halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, when in fact these halachas are based on psukim. What we will see is a very long question. We have a long question mark in the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, which goes almost all the way down Ayin Gimel Omid Aleph. Hence, it's necessary for us to pause in our Shiur presentation at this point in order to not break up the continuum of thought. So with that, we conclude our Shiur for today.